Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Castle of Bitter Thorn by K.L. Moody, narrated by Caitlin Davies. Chapter 1. Magic, Enchantment, and Danger. With all of Fairy's delights came a host of troubles. Troubles that could maim, destroy, or even kill. So why am I so desperate to stay? Alora's toe met the mossy stone floor of her bedroom in a flurry of taps. She had promised Prince Brannock she would stay and help him win the testing to become High King of Faerie. But then what? Was she really just going to go home like the prince insisted? Could she really return to the mortal realm to care for her two sisters while knowing Faerie existed? Could she live knowing it was just out of her reach? When an ache split through her ankle from how often she tapped her toe, she jumped off her bed. If she had to leave after the testing, then she also had a duty to explore Faerie before leaving it forever. Her eyes flicked toward the open window of her bedroom. Exploration took more effort these days. A forest breeze fluttered inside, ruffling the leaves on the trees in the middle of her room. While the breeze could move freely in and out of her window, she could not. The brooding prince of Bitter Thorn had placed an enchantment over her window, preventing her from reaching even a finger through it. He claimed the spell would protect her. At the first phase of testing, she had played a harp for High King Romany, and hundreds of Fae had heard her remarkable skill. Supposedly, other Fae would now stop at nothing to snatch her away from Bitter Thorn. Yet the enchantment still seemed like an excuse to keep her trapped. Sneaking out the window was out of the question. Her door, on the other hand, had no such enchantment. She could sneak into her hallway with no effort at all. Sneaking anywhere interesting would take more skill. Pulling on the leather strap of her door, she peeked into the hallway. Empty. Just as she suspected. Rising up to tiptoes, she started down it. The dark solitude provided the perfect backdrop for a memory she kept trying to ignore. The first phase of testing. During the revel that night, she had been forced to kiss Prince Brannock just to prove to a particularly nasty Fae that no one could claim her as a pet. Apparently, this stupid kiss hadn't been enough to keep her safe. Everything had gone wrong that night. They managed to kill the King of Dust Dune before he could inflict deadly shards on half the Fae and Faerie, but stopping him had come at a cost. Prince Brannock had been weakened when he destroyed some of the shards. There had been a fight, an ogre, and the kiss. Now the prince insisted she have an escort everywhere she went, and her window was enchanted every night to lock her inside. Too bad for the prince. She had perfected the art of sneaking out by the age of 13. She only needed a destination, quiet feet, and a good excuse if she got caught. Her excuse tonight would be a nightmare, or sleepwalking, or maybe both. She'd figure it out on the spot if she had to. She just had to get out and experience the wonders of Faerie while she still could. Before Prince Brannock won the testing to become High King and forced her to return to the mortal realm. Vines of green leaves stretched across the stone ceiling of the hallway. A light wind fluttered through the leaves, making just enough noise to mask her steps. Black thorns twisted through the greenery. They creaked in the breeze, covering her sounds even more. Her fingers trailed across the mossy wall at her side. Just as she neared the end of the corridor, the cool, rocky texture of stone vanished. She jerked her head sharply to the side and sucked in a breath. Where did the wall go? To her eyes, the stone wall looked the same as it always did. The sight of it curled her gut into a knot. Reaching out with one hand, she waved her hand through the air in the exact spot that the wall appeared. And yet, no wall met her fingertips. At least now she had a name for the trickery. Glamour. The Fae could use magic to make things look different from how they really appeared. Using both hands to sweep the area in front of her, she found that the empty space was the exact size of a hallway opening. Her heart thumped in her chest at the thought. With tingling fingers, she leaned forward. What would happen when she tried to push her head through the glamour that looked like a wall? Her hands hadn't met any resistance, so why should the rest of her? Despite those thoughts, a part of her still held back. At one time, nothing could have stopped her curiosity. She would have charged forward without a thought. But that was before she discovered Fairy, before she betrayed a prince and conspired with a king, before she had ever kissed anyone. Now she knew the dangers of Fairy were just as real as its magic. Her body hovered at the hidden doorway. What if she couldn't find her way back? What if a treacherous creature lurked beyond the glamour? When a whiff of decay met her nose, she stumbled backward. Her feet slapped against the stone floor, letting out a noise that rang down the hallway on both ends. The thumping in her chest shook harder than before. The tingles in her fingertips suddenly felt like needles. She whipped away from the wall that wasn't really a wall. Why did she have to explore that hallway right then anyway? Another day would be better. Besides, she still wanted to sneak into the forest to gather some purple berries for her brownie, Pfeiffer. Footsteps neared from an adjoining corridor. Based on the sound of them, she only had a moment to dash away before getting caught. Using the light feet she usually reserved for dancing, Alora slipped into a new hallway. Luckily, it was as deserted as her own. She prioritized speed over silence as she moved. Even if someone heard her footsteps, hopefully she could get away before they arrived. Crisp forest air trickled through the castle hallways thanks to large open windows. Still, nothing compared to meeting the air outside. When Alora finally stepped outside the castle and entered the forest surrounding it, she took in a deep breath. More footsteps sounded behind her. She scurried around the nearest castle turret. A stone staircase covered in moss and twigs was tucked in between the turret and the black castle wall at its side. It sat at a strange angle, which was probably why she had never noticed it before. Without a good excuse for being out, she welcomed the chance to hide as quickly as possible. Spongy moss gave off the scent of wet earth as she trailed down the staircase. A black door with a leather strap for a handle stood at the bottom. She didn't think twice before pushing it open. Briars and thorns creaked all through the room. Their black vines twisted over the walls and around the plush furniture. A tree stood in one corner, but the black thorns twisted so tight around its trunk and around every branch that the poor tree had died. A strong stench wafted all around, but it wasn't unpleasant exactly. It was just different. In fact, everything in the room felt different, though she couldn't explain how. Her theories came to a halt when a cold voice cut across the room.
"What are you doing here, mortal?"
Prince Brannock slouched in a chair made from leather and bundles of thin branches. His black hair hung down to his shoulders, as glossy as ever, but limper than usual, too. Even when he shook out his shoulders and ran a hand through his hair, it didn't bounce as it usually did. "Prince Brannock," she curtsied before him, but the tone of her voice was mocking. He could tell. His nose twitched. The chill in his voice transferred to his limbs. Tension rocked through him as he leaned forward with a glare.
"Get out now."
Each of his words came out like its own sentence. Each felt like a knife to the gut. One kiss. They had only shared one kiss, and it was even a fake one, only meant to convince the Fae, Ansel, to leave Alora alone. But that one kiss had changed everything. She didn't know what Brannock hated more, the fact that he had been forced to explain his past to her, or the fact that he revealed his feelings for her. Either way, the combination had turned him even colder than she had ever seen. Then again, love had destroyed his life once before. He had given his heart to Queen Alessandra of Fairfrost. He had made a bargain with her and promised to follow every order she ever gave him. He also promised he would never touch anyone besides Alessandra if he had romantic feelings for that being in his heart. That was the most frightening thing about Fae bargains. They couldn't be broken. When he and Alora shared that one kiss, even though it had been a fake one, he still almost vanished from existence. Despite how he tried to deny it, Brannock had strong enough feelings for her that the bargain tried to destroy him when he touched her. At first, Alora foolishly believed the truth would bring them closer together. She thought the prince might turn to her for advice or even comfort. Instead, he seemed intent on avoiding her altogether. Before he could repeat his command, she raised herself up to the balls of her feet. "You promised to get me a new sheath for my sword. You said you would put a glamour on it that would make it invisible, so I can carry my sword with me everywhere." His nose twitched again. As he moved his hand upward to pinch the bridge of his nose, a pair of black ears appeared from behind his woody throne. A snout soon followed, and then the wolf's entire body could be seen. Only a moment later, he bounded forward and nuzzled into Alora's leg. "Hello, Blas," she grinned as she dug her fingers into his soft black fur. At least the wolf had missed her. Her knees dropped to the earthy woven rug under her feet, so she could more easily scratch behind Blas's ears. Her eyes turned to the prince as she knelt. For the briefest moment, a soft smile adorned his face while he watched her with his wolf. The expression melted away so quickly, she almost thought she imagined it. The thorns twisting around Brannock's chair creaked as he let out a huff. "It is too dangerous for you to leave your room at night. Do I need to put an enchantment on your doorway as well as your window?" She left a soft pat on top of Blas's head before glaring up at the prince. "Am I a prisoner?" The words tumbled from her lips as if they'd had this argument many times. The ease with which they quarreled came as naturally as it had between her own parents. With that thought, she felt her mouth twist up into a knot. A matching snarl filled Brannock's face. "You are not a prisoner. And do you think I actually care for your safety? It is your sword skill I need. My life will be much easier if you do not get injured or kidnapped before the final phase of testing." This was the first time she had seen the prince since he told her everything about his past with Alessandra. So why did everything feel different? Blaze padded across the woven rug to stand at the prince's side. Brannock arched his hand over the arm of his chair to reach for the wolf's head. At least two more vines of black briars had covered the arm since Alora entered the room. That was part of the curse on the prince's court of bitter thorn. Thorns followed him everywhere he went in his court. But was the curse getting worse? She had never seen the thorns grow around him so quickly. Smoothing out the wrinkles in her purple skirt, Alora kept her gaze away from the prince. "Shouldn't we begin training again, then? It's been days since we were in Dust Dune and destroyed the shards, but I haven't done any sword training with you at all. Aren't we running out of time?" The chuckle that left Brannock's lips held no humor. "There is no time in Faerie. High King Romani will not announce the next phase until we are ready." It seemed like the perfect moment to roll her eyes. Knowing it would bother Brannock, she flopped herself onto the nearest chair. "Are we just going to forget the testing, then? If you never prepare for it, then it will never happen. Is that your plan?" As she lifted her eyes to roll them again, an unexpected sight met them. A chandelier. The sparkly crystals caught the light, showering the upper walls of the room with a rainbow of light. But it wasn't just the crystals that caught her eye. Soft light glowed from the spot where candles should have been. The light was mostly white with a hint of pink, but it definitely wasn't fire. Even more intriguing, it wasn't green. She glanced around the top of the room another time, finally recognizing why the room looked different. In every part of Faerie that she had ever been, small glowing green lights always floated up above. She now knew the glowing lights were actually sprites who sent messages throughout Faerie. She had even befriended a small sprite named Tansy. But this room had no sprites. Instead, the only light source in the room came from the chandelier. It must have been from magic she hadn't seen before. When she finally turned back to the prince again, he glared even harder than before. With a wave of one hand, a swirling tunnel appeared at his side. Brown, green, and black smudges twirled around each other down the length of the tunnel. A cool and gentle breeze floated through the tunnel, bringing along with it the scent of wet earth, moss, and rain. Just when the slightest hint of wild berries filled the air, Brannock cleared his throat. "That door will take you back to your room," Alora pouted as she leaned back into her chair. "But I don't want to go back to my room. Once the testing is over, I have to return to the mortal realm. I'm anxious to explore Faerie and enjoy it as much as I can before I go.
His shoulders stiffened as he sat taller in his chair. Then explore it during the day with an escort. At night, you must stay in your room.
Glancing toward the door that led to the forest, she sat up straighter. But I don't have an offering for Pfeiffer. I must leave him an offering, or he won't bring me anything to eat, and...
As she spoke, the prince whirled one hand in a circle. A clump of purple wildflowers appeared at Alora's feet by the time he finished.
The flowers would make a perfect offering for her brownie.
She snatched them off the ground as she stood from her chair.
Another night, she would have argued more. She would have reminded him again about the sheath he promised. But truthfully, she was getting tired, and the thought of her warm bed was too nice to ignore. Just for fun, she snarled at the prince as she moved toward his swirling tunnel.
He met her expression with a clenched jaw. You should be safe inside the castle, but do not leave its walls again unless you have an escort. Your skills are too valuable in Faerie. You are not safe.
She mostly ignored his words as she stomped toward his Faerie door. He could order her around as much as he liked, but she didn't have to follow. She had learned something since being in Faerie, and that was how to take her life into her own hands. He couldn't stop her from enjoying Faerie, no matter how hard he tried. Chapter 2 Even with Aer as her only opponent, Alora loved practicing her sword skill. Her blades swished and sliced, glinting in the light of her room. Only after she'd been practicing for a while did a thin bead of sweat break out over her forehead. After completing a difficult set of exercises, she finally let her arms drop to her sides. The leather hilt of her sword fit perfectly in her palm, like it always had. A twinkling noise accompanied a glowing green light that flew down from the ceiling. Pink sparkles glittered against the green. Only a moment later, Tansy flopped onto Alora's shoulder. The sprite's velvety hair bounced as she landed.
I have traveled everywhere in Faerie many times, but I have never seen anyone with sword skill such as yours.
The compliment turned Alora's lips up. She lifted the soft mattress of her bed and hid the sword underneath it. Now she turned to the sprite. Should I be worried that you know about my sword skill? Brannick insists I must keep it secret. You won't tell other Fae, will you?
With a glistening snort, the sprite clutched her belly.
Sprites do not speak to other Fae, except to deliver messages.
Alora raised an eyebrow. But you speak to me.
Tansy gave a casual shrug as she ran a hand over her spiked-up hair.
I'm not supposed to, but you did prevent us from delivering shards that would have killed half the Fae in Faerie.
She shrugged.
We like you.
At those words, the sprite flew off Alora's shoulder. Her glowing green wings flapped hard, but she moved with the elegance of a hummingbird. Seeing the sprite fly brought Alora's thoughts to the wings on her own back. Brannick had given her wings in exchange for her help with sword skill, yet she had hardly used them at all. Fear was the biggest reason. But Tansy could fly, and she liked Alora. Would the sprite be willing to share her knowledge of flying? Alora bent to test the strength of the ribbon around her ankle. The red ribbon had come from her sister Chloe, and it acted as a ward against Fae enchantments. Luckily, the knot remained as tight as ever. When Alora stood, she tilted her head toward the sprite in front of her. Is that the only reason you speak to me? Because you like me? Alora had learned early on that everyone in Faerie had devious intentions. As much as she liked the sprite, she didn't expect anything different from her. The sprite's wings glowed brighter as she turned in a loop. Soon, she was hovering right in front of Alora's face.
Hundreds of my brothers and sisters are still trapped by Queen Alessandra in Fairfrost Court. We are trying to devise a plan to free them, and that plan might include you.
I thought it might be something like that, Alora chuckled, but she didn't mind the feeling of being needed. A moment later, the captain of the guard arrived to escort her to the council room. Tansy immediately disappeared among the sea of sprites near the ceiling, while Alora entered the hallway with Soren. The stocky gnome uttered gruff complaints as he led her down the hall. Once the council room was in sight,
he left to perform one last duty as captain of the guard before he would return to the council room again. 12 trees grew inside the room, shading the long wooden table at the center of it. The sight always took Alora's breath away. But just then, something else caught her attention. Blaz dipped his black furred head, almost as if telling her to stop where she stood. Only then did she notice the two people already standing in the council room. Prince Brannock stood at the head of the table, speaking to the dryad, Kaya, her flowing emerald hair ruffled in the light breeze going through the room. Brannock's head bent while he glared. Neither of them had noticed Alora's presence. She glanced at the wolf again. This time, he tipped his nose upward at the two beside him. Did he want her to listen? Kaya traced circles over her palm, mixing together some sort of powder and liquid. She frowned at the sight of it.
Your essence is still suffering since the battle in Dust Dune.
I know. Brannock folded his arms over his chest as he glared at the ground. I can feel it. I thought seeing Queen Alessandra again had caused it, but I think it might be related to... His voice trailed off for a moment as his nose twitched. Something else. The dryad shook her head, still staring at her palm.
It hasn't been the same since you escaped from Fairfrost.
Brannock's voice raised in pitch. You said it was getting better. Letting out a sigh, Kaya reached into her pocket for a white cloth.
It was. But then...
Her voice stopped as she wiped the mixture off her palm. The movement caused her head to turn just enough to see Alora standing in the doorway of the room. The slightest twinge of pink colored the prince's cheeks before he clenched his teeth together.
Where is Soren?
Alora flipped a portion of hair over one shoulder. He said he had to check on a squad before the meeting. That answer only brought an even angrier snarl to the prince's lips. He hissed as he dropped himself onto the throne that merged stone and tree together at the head of the council room table. After snapping away the twisting black thorns that covered the arms of the throne, he shot an angry huff toward Alora. The dryad took a seat at the table. She smoothed her emerald hair and glanced at the prince.
That attitude will not help you. Strong emotion could be making it worse.
He let out another huff.
How am I supposed to control my emotion with such an infuriating presence nearby?
He punctuated his question by jabbing his thumb in Alora's direction.
Why must she go around listening to private conversations?
A nearly inaudible snicker escaped the dryad's lips before she smothered it with the clearing of her throat. Several pairs of footsteps sounded in the nearby hallway, which ended the conversation immediately. Brannock's other council members, Vesper, Quintus, and Liren, entered the room one after the other. Liren's eyes flitted around, looking at nothing in particular. She touched a hand to her seashell necklace several times, as if her thoughts were far from that moment. In her other hand, she held a long, shimmery blue javelin. The other two fae were much more animated. Quintus shook his head, which rustled his neatly parted black hair. His eyes were wide when he spoke to Vesper.
You angered a giant in Mistmount by accidentally sleeping on it, and then you decided to fight with it.
Vesper slid a hand through his brown curls before giving a casual shrug.
I would have opened a door and left, but you know how I love a good fight.
He chuckled as he sat down at the table.
Anyway, the giant swung his blade, which was longer than most of the trees in Mistmount, I might add. I managed to avoid it, but a nearby home wasn't as lucky. The giant's sword smashed all the way through it.
As Liren took a seat at the table, she bit her bottom lip. Still, she stared off at nothing in particular. Vesper sat forward in his chair, his blue and gray eyes bright.
Naturally, I summoned fire, which scared the giant away. Unfortunately, the fire also caught onto the broken home. I thought nothing of it, until a dwarf child came running out of the house screaming about his parents.
At those words, Quintus pulled a pad of paper and pencil from his pocket. He began sketching the scene before nodding at Vesper to continue. Now Vesper smiled.
I ran into the burning home next. I did not care for the lives of the child's parents.
His mouth tilted in a grin,
but I could not refuse the adventure. Obviously, I survived, but the entire dwarf family did too. It was one of my most memorable travels.
Widened eyes and shocked gasps accompanied the end of the tale, but the words only gnarled Alora's insides. Her stomach churned as memories of a different fire filled her mind. She couldn't help notice the irony of the Fae's story. He saved the dwarf family with his desire for adventure, but it was only when Alora accepted her arranged marriage and lack of adventure that her own parents were killed in a fire. The thoughts twisted inside her, writhing so fast that tears pooled in her eyes before she had even taken a breath. Her throat ached as she tried to blink the tears away. Her fingers curled into tight fists as she forced herself to take deep breaths. Those memories were too painful. She couldn't face them, especially not in the middle of a council meeting. If Brannock saw her weakness, he would surely find a way to exploit it. And who enjoyed pain anyway? When the prince stood from his throne and began talking about their plans, Alora shoved the memories away and forced herself to focus on nothing but his words. No one needed the distraction more than she did.
We have two phases left in the testing.
Brannix's voice seemed different than it had when she first entered the room. Now it seemed stronger, surer. He stood taller, too.
Liren, Soren, and I are working on the speeches. My speech is the most important, but High King Romany might ask any of you to give a short speech on my behalf.
Alora sucked in a breath before quiet words escaped from her mouth.
Even me?
From across the table, Vesper tapped his chin.
Alora has done her part, has she not? Can we not return her to the mortal realm now?
The slightest flinch went through Brannock's shoulders before he answered.
Because she helped with the first phase of testing, High King Romany will consider her a member of my council until the testing is over.
Though pain from her past had churned in her stomach only moments earlier, fear completely crushed it now. Her every thought was chained to the current conversation.
But I'm just a mortal. I don't know how to give a speech. What if I say something wrong?
She had already broken many fairy rules, and all of them came with consequences.
Hush. Brannock threw her a sharp look before standing straight again. You have adventure in your blood. You will be fine.
Fear probably would have clutched her tighter, except Vesper jerked his head toward the prince with eyes so wide the light of the room filled them. A moment later, Vesper turned to glance at Alora. When he looked to the prince again, a weight rested in his eyes that hadn't been there before. Brannock stood even taller, but it didn't hide his hard swallow. He gave a brief glance toward Alora.
Liren will write your speech. You only have to give it.
Now he cleared his throat.
The winner of the speech gets to choose the weapon that will be used in the final phase of the testing. The tournament.
Now Alora's eyes went wide. The winner of the speech chooses the weapon for the tournament? Liren glanced toward the doorway of the room. Her lips parted as if to respond, but she merely stared at the entrance instead. Was she waiting for something? When silence filled the room for another moment, Brannock took the opportunity to fill it. He was careful to avoid Alora's eyes, no matter how she tried to catch his. Still, her stomach churned. The prince's entire plan for the tournament rested on him using a sword. That was the whole reason she had been brought to Fae in the first place. To teach him a weapon no Fae would ever guess he could use. And the plan would only work if he first won the speech phase of the testing. While she continued to attempt to catch the prince's eye, a sprite flew into the room and hovered in front of Liren. It spoke with a shrill but quiet voice.
Liren of Swiftsea, I have a message for you from Queen Nolani of Swiftsea.
Liren jumped up from her chair. She barely had enough time to say,
excuse me,
before she left the room and entered the nearby hallway. She took her javelin with her. Brannock gave no reaction to her exit. He simply turned to Quintus, who was still sketching the story of the giant and the fire. After clearing his throat, the prince asked,
are you almost finished with...
He raised both eyebrows instead of completing the sentence. In response, Quintus nodded swiftly.
It will not take me much longer.
Now the prince turned to Kaya.
Prepare the elixir we discussed. I will take it this evening.
Bark-like striations had broken out across Kaya's brown skin.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?